Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part three in a three-part series entitled Abundance, and today's message is specifically entitled God's Economy. And it is based off of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. So let us dive into the Word today. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Amen. When we generously give to God out of a joyful heart, we do so without reluctance or obligation. However, most of the time, we find ourselves reluctant to give because we are so focused on what we don't have, rather than the abundance God has blessed us with. Still, God is calling us to transform into joyful, generous givers. John Wesley, who co-founded Methodism with his brother Charles, lived in a Britain undergoing rapid urbanization and the beginning of industrialization. During this time, there was a rise in overcrowding, in disease, in poverty, in alcoholism, debt, neglect, child neglect, and mental health issues. And on top of that, the upper 5% of society spent large sums of money in order to distance themselves from those emerging problems. This 5% were in possession of nearly a third of the national income. Now, Wesley certainly did not start off wealthy, but he was well off enough to attend boarding school in Oxford, his dad being a Church of England rector in Epsworth, probably helped out with that. A rector is a pastor, basically, in the Church of England. And, you know, with that comes, you know, because he's in essence working for the king. All priests, rectors and pastors were under the king's authority. The king was the head of the Church of England, if you recall. Think back to Henry VIII. And so there are certain benefits with that, no doubt, and perhaps that helped John get into Oxford, as it had helped Samuel, his father, get into Oxford, and so on and so forth. But they certainly weren't wealthy. I mean, they weren't the poorest of the poor, they weren't impoverished, but they were probably somewhere in the middle class. Still, Wesley eventually became wealthy through being a well-known preacher and author. He was earning £1,400 per year at his peak, which would equate today to £140,447, give or take, or $185,537. Again, $185,537 per year. Not a shabby salary. Certainly far more than I make. But get this, out of that salary, he gave all but £30 away. He only kept enough to live a simple life. Over his entire life, he earned an estimated £30,000. In today's time, that would equate to about £2,302,833, or in dollars, that would be $2,978,518.74. When he died, Wesley had donated nearly all of that away to the poor and to other charitable ministries. John Wesley was a generous giver. And before he died, he said, quote, "If I leave behind me 10 pounds, you and all mankind can bear witness against me that I have lived and died a thief and robber." End quote. Now, generosity is hard for all of us to nurture. It really is hard for us all. And we've all grown up in a mindset of scarcity, and we've been taught to make each dollar count and to not blow our money away because it doesn't grow on trees. We've all heard that. And these tidbits of advice are actually good when dealing with not wasting your money on things you don't need. However, we don't just end up limiting ourselves from buying unnecessary materialistic things. Instead, we also limit ourselves from generously giving during worship as well. And we all operate on the world's economy, which is this: make all the money you can and save it up so that you won't go without the things you need and want. And truth be told, we oftentimes don't limit ourselves on the things we want, do we? We'll cut back on giving to church and giving here and giving there, but as long as we can keep our comfortable lives going, that's what matters to us. In our scripture today, we learn of a different economy. We learn about God's economy. Paul's advice to the Corinthians comes right out of what Jesus taught, as well as he quotes scripture from the Old Testament. But in Matthew chapter 9, verses 19 through 21, Jesus warned us not to store up our treasures on earth, but to store them up in heaven. In verse 21, he said, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And in Luke chapter 12, verses 48, Jesus taught, "When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required." To the Corinthians, Paul reminded them and us of a few simple points. First, in order to reap the joyful reward of generous giving, we must first give generously. Let me say that again. In order for us to reap the joyful reward of generous giving, we must first give generously. Second, how much you give and how you give is totally up to you. However, God knows your heart and knows whether you're giving out of joy or out of reluctance and obligation. You can't fool God. So how you give and how much you give is up to you, but make sure you're doing it with a joyful heart. And finally, Paul reveals that God blesses generous givers with a great harvest of generosity. Notice that God is not promising materialistic blessings here. Again, the prosperity gospel is not the true gospel, but it is a distortion of God's word. So it's not I'm not saying that God will bless you with materialistic goods if you give generously. That's not biblical at all. God is not promising materialistic blessings, but that your generosity will be a blessing to others, as well as a blessing to you, in that you will grow to be even more generous. That is exactly what we saw happen to John Wesley in his life. His giving grew and grew and grew and grew. So where do you find yourself in this? Are you a generous or a reluctant giver? I think there are moments when all of us, myself included, have been reluctant, obligatory givers. But, truth be told, there are also times when all of us have given generously. So I want you to think of those times that you gave generously. How were you blessed by your generosity? You are being called to grow in your generosity so that others can reap the blessing of your faithfulness. What's more, that generosity will continue to grow in you as a result. Like John Wesley, we are all called to make as much as we can, save as much as we can, and give as much as we can for the building up of God's kingdom. There is much work to be done, and we are being reminded that we need to operate on God's economy of abundance. A scarcity mindset will not help us in the task God has set before us. It will only hold us back, because all we'll ever focus on is all the things we don't have, as opposed to looking at what God has given us here and now. My friends, we have been richly blessed. Even if we don't have all that we could imagine having, we still have our breath, our lives, and our ability to respond to God in faithful ways. And if we can do that, if we can respond to God in faithful ways, there is nothing that is going to stop us from building up God's kingdom here and now on earth as it is in heaven. Only recognizing the abundance of God, only truly seeing how abundant God is, will help us in growing in our generosity. So I challenge each of you to give generously today. Yes, give generously today. But not just that. I also challenge you to find someone that you can be generous to this week. So wherever you are right now listening, give generously. Give generously, and watch what God does through your generosity. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you and praise you for whoever is listening into this message. For you are challenging them just as much as you're challenging me and all of us to grow in our generosity, to put our trust fully in you, to really trust that you are giving us all that we need and blessing us with all that we need. And that if we just put our trust in you and give out of a joyful heart, that so much will be done through that generosity. And not only will it be done in a way that helps other people, but it'll be done in a way that grows our generosity even more. So help us, Lord, to grow as a generous people, to give as generously as Christ gave, as generously as you gave for us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Now, friends, I realize that that growing in generosity, just like growing in our faith and growing in perfection, Christian perfection, is a process. For some people, maybe it happens like that, but for most people, it's going to take their whole lifetime. But God is working within us. The Holy Spirit is working within us. And if we just open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, there's no stopping what God will do. So I want to thank you, friends, for tuning in. The music here in the background is my organist practicing at church, and so he's rocking out there. Thank you to him. But I also want to point you to the episode notes, where you can check out the Party on John cast. You can check out Life-Giving Water Devotions, which is in the Life-Giving Water Ministries page, which is a branch of this. This is a branch of that, really. I'd also like to invite you to rate us and to review us on whatever platform you're listening to, which helps us get the word out to other people. So I hope that you will consider doing that. It takes seconds. In the meantime, friends, I want to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.